You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, well, I just feel alone. And I said, well, no, you're not alone if you got God. But I come to find out that even though people are around other people and everything, many people have a feeling of loneliness. Have any of y'all talked to anybody that's said anything about that lately? Oh, I see several hands. Well, I have a subject I'm going to try to get to you today. It's called Overcoming Loneliness Through the Church Community. Overcoming Loneliness Through the Church Community. You know, Psalms 68, 5 and 6 in the NASB. I'm going to read it there, and I'm also going to read it from the TPT translation. A father to the fatherless, a judge for the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious live in parched lands. Now, the other translation, the fatherless, to the fatherless, he's a father. To the widow, he's a champion friend. The lonely, he makes part of a family. The prisoners, he leads into prosperity until they sing for joy. This is our holy God in his holy place. But for the rebels, there is heartache and despair. Those are two pretty strong scriptures talking to us about the fact that God doesn't want us to be lonely. He created us for community. We find this all the way back in the Garden of Eden when he had created Adam, and he came down and he said, it's not good for man to be alone, and he created a helpmate for him. You know, in the early church in Acts, if you'll study, you'll find out that the believers there, they shared their lives in worship and fellowship. You know, the Word of God emphasizes the importance of connection. And as some of you know, I did several messages about connection, and they have been put into a book form back there called Connect. And you know, connection is important to ward off loneliness and feeling alone. Loneliness begins to isolate you. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants to isolate you from the church community, because there in the church community is for where you can find your help, some people that will strengthen you. You know, God designed us for relationships, relationship with him, relationship with the Heavenly Father, but relationships with one another in the church. If you study the early church and the Acts, you'll find out that they had a connection with each other. I believe that this reflects the love of God and the purpose that the church community is set up for. Now, I want to maybe mention some things that might help in creating overcoming loneliness. You know, we need to build friendships. And then, what do we call ourselves here at the Rhema Bible Church? Rhema family. A family helps one another. A family is for one another. A family stands with one another rather than rejecting. They're there to help them in the time of need. You know, actually, one of the best ways to combat or overcome loneliness is start with finding people that you can connect with in the church community that have shared interests that you have. You stop to think about it for a minute. Most of our friends, they share the same interests that you do. How many, anybody ever thought about that and noticed that? So, actually, you know, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. You know, I'm just thinking about it. When I was associate pastor for my father-in-law down at Southside Assembly there in Garland for those 6 years, and Lynette was, you know, I'm 27 years old, okay, 28, 29 there, I was there. I started there, I was 27 when I started. And every Sunday afternoon, a whole group of us from the church, and she can verify this, we would go down to the city park. They had a football field there, and we would play football. But in so doing, we began to pick up friends. You know, friends would bring friends that wasn't a part of the church, and we all joined together over a shared interest of football. But then we were able then to minister to some of those that were not a part of our church community and help them. You know, there's something about, I mean, coming together, there's something, it creates a bond. You know, I know that Blake there, he likes to go hunting, and I know and Pastor Rob likes to hunt. How many of you like to hunt? Yeah, go hunting. Now, I noticed that they have a connection, Blake and Pastor Rob, and they'll talk about, and you'll see them talking about hunting and they have a camera set up somewhere, and they'll show me pictures of the deer around. And actually, you build relationships and camaraderie through a natural interest, but then you have a camaraderie built because of your spiritual side. Remember what I say all the time. It's not all spiritual. It's not all natural. It's the two working together, the natural and the supernatural coming together. What's Pastor say? Makes an explosive force for God. You know, some people try to live all in the natural, and some other people try to live all in the spiritual, and neither one of them are no good for anything. But when you bring the two together, you've got something going on that's going to be beneficial. Hello. We actually live in two worlds at the same time. We live in the spiritual world and the natural world. Right? We are a natural being, but we also are a spirit being. The man on the inside. In fact, that's what Paul said, spirit, soul, and body. The spirit on the inside, the soul of man is your intellect, your emotions, and so forth. And then your body is the house you live in until you leave this earth. Amen. You know, shared interests provide the natural foundation for building relationships. And you can build a relationship with somebody that doesn't share quite the same spiritual outlook that you do, but through that natural relationship, you can have an opportunity to minister or to witness to them on the spiritual side. Come on now. You know, you all know that I like car racing, especially dirt track racing. In fact, how many of you knew about the Chili Bowl that went on down at the Expo, you know? They come in here, I forget how many states were there, and all the states, and I don't know how many countries. I know they were there from Canada, Australia, New Zealand, England. It is the largest indoor midget car race in the world. And they come from all over. If you don't, you start racing on Monday, you try to get back to go to the main race on Saturday night. But just to get to say that you ran the Chili Bowl, that carries a lot of weight on your resume as a race car driver. Well, I have had the privilege of doing the invocation down there since the 90s, and the last 4 years, Racers for Christ have taken over Monday through Friday, but Emmett Hahn, he said, no, he said, Pastor Hagin does Saturday night. So I still do Saturday night. And, you know, I have built some relationships with different people. I've been able, through being a part in here, Cameron races here, my grandson, around at the different tracks here, and I go. And they all call me Pastor Hagin. I've built a relationship with them. And many of them will come to me and they say, hey, can I talk to you? And so they'll invite me to go back in their race trailer, and we'll go in there. And they'll start talking to me. And I'm able to minister to them and help them. But it all started through a natural relationship. You know, you need to begin to, and in the church community, you need to come together. You know, activities like sports and hobbies, Bible study groups, that fosters and camaraderie and creates a community. God will use these things to help you to get out of your loneliness. You know, someone said, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, begin to pray that God will guide you. He says he'd guide, guard, and direct us in the Word, so you can say whatever you need, you pray for. Ask God to direct you to people that you can connect with. Here at church, get involved in one of our league teams. We have all kinds of league teams. You know, if you like arts and crafts, if you like bicycling, if you like disc golf or golf, and then there's one group called the Moms Group, I think it's, and there's, I don't know how many of them there are, but there's a whole lot of them. And that's where you can get involved, and that's where you can begin to make a connection, and you won't feel that loneliness. Hello, you still there? You gone home already? Am I helping anybody this morning? If I'm not helping, if you say, well, I don't really need that, well then, hey, listen, because you may be able to help a friend. You may be able to help somebody. I always tell people, oh, even if the minister's talking about something that you really already know, hey, listen, you might hear something new, but you also can glean information where you can give to somebody else to help them. Now, just thinking about it for a minute, another thing that we can do to not feel alone is to offer to help someone else and support somebody else. Hebrews 13:16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. Well, what about that? Well, hey, offer to, you got, if an elderly couple lives on your street, offer to mow their yard. That'll open the door for a friendship. You know, look for a place to help somebody. Look for a place that you can, sometimes you can share your expertise on something Maybe they're dealing with a problem with at their house or something, and maybe you have the information that can help them. You know, Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Carry each other's burdens. Help one another. We all have situations that we deal with. And many times in your situation, now you can help somebody else. You know that Craig had a, back when he was in the eighth grade, he had a brain, he had an operation on his brain. He had a tumor right here. And because, and God was great and helped us with the thing with it, you know, but because of that, I don't know how many couples that Lynette and I have been able to talk to that their child was having brain surgery. And we have been able to share with them how God helped us and how that we now have come through this. You see, helping each other, sharing with each other, creates a bond and a camaraderie that it can't be built any other way. When you share, helping others creates a bond, but it also reflects God's heart of service. Hello. Acts of kindness sometimes says that you care. It'll break down barriers that might exist. Look, if you want to get out of your loneliness and feeling alone, look for someone to help. Look for somebody that you can help. I told somebody just the other day, they were talking about, well, I don't have this and I don't have that and I can't do this. I said, man, look around at what you do have and then look at someone else and look how much better off you are. You know, too many people don't realize where they're at. They're always looking over here for this when they have this. You know what? Until, and I'm going to say something, you might not like this, but until you're satisfied with what God has given you right now and you're praising Him for it, He can't give you anything else. I told somebody today, quit grabbing about what you don't have and thank God for what you have. And as you begin to thank Him for what you have, He'll give you more. Hello. Somebody's grabbing about their house. I don't know. It's been maybe a couple, 3 or 4 weeks back. I don't know. Time goes so fast for me that I sometimes, like Anthony, he says, so he'll be on the road. He's with us, Anthony. He was just up here singing. He's the platform man. And he'll say, Pastor Hagin said, well, you know, about 5 years ago, and then and he says, and then he turns around and says, well, you know, 1975. You know, they were grappling about their house. Oh, it's just too small. I'd just like to have a bigger house. And I just looked at them, and I don't know how they took it. I said, well, thank God you got one. Look at that guy over there. He's sleeping outside. Hello. I'm sort of off the track here, but it helps anyway. You know, creating, when you begin to share with others and help them, it creates a connection. Now, let's think about, hey, we just put on a screen all the places that we need help. You can volunteer in one of those programs, and when you get involved and volunteer here in the church in what I call the Ministry of Helps, because that's what it is, according to what Paul says. It's listed right there with the pastor and the evangelist right there in the ministry of helps. You know, that's where you meet people and become friends with people, and that will drive away loneliness. You know, look for ways to help somebody. You know, most of you know that Lynette and I, when we try to get away for a rest break, we go up to Branson. We have a place up there we go to. And we met some friends up there. Well, when we were up there, I don't know, I think it was vacation time, I think, or right around. Anyway, she had had back surgery. Well, we're up there on rest, trying to get some rest. And so we, or Lynette did, I didn't peel potatoes, but but we fixed a meal and took it to their house. Well, you know, we were up there for a time of rest, but we saw an opportunity to minister to somebody, to help them. And, you know, by doing that, it encourages you, but it encourages them to realize that they're not alone. What are we talking about? People feeling alone, okay? You know, sometimes we need to begin to think a little bit. Sometimes people are so natural-minded that they're no spiritual good. And sometimes some people are so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good. So let's get both areas. Let's get a balance here. When we do this all the time. I mean, we saw a couple one time we didn't know. We'd never seen them before in our life. We were celebrating our anniversary at a restaurant. An elderly couple came in. Well, now I laugh about it. They might have been younger than I am. Anyway. Okay. Now we can get on with the message. And so we noticed when they looked at the menu, and we noticed that when they ordered, they were splitting everything. So Lynette looked at me and said, "Let's buy their meal." And I said, I was thinking the same thing. So we bought their meal. You know what? That really blessed them. In fact, we told them not to tell, but I guess they told because they came by our table then and was thanking us and telling us how much it helped them and blessed them. You know, hey, you know what? That makes you feel so good that you were able to minister to somebody. That's naturally, but we can do that in the spiritual area also. Hello, come on. You here with me? Yeah, okay. Now, let's think about this for a minute. We need to be consistent in what we're doing. It just can't be hit, miss, because but if you're consistent, then you'll get away from all of that loneliness. Psalms 33:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." Now, this is Scripture is emphasizing joy and peace that comes from consistent fellowship with one another. A person that isolates themselves, they will begin to feel alone. They will have loneliness set in. You know, it requires regular interaction with other people, sharing your life and them sharing their lives with you, sharing your burdens together, your victories together. That will help you to get away from that feeling of loneliness. You know, consistently come to church and just don't sit over by yourself. Meet people. When you meet them and share with them, the loneliness disappears. People say, well, I go to church, but I still feel lonely. I still feel alone. I said, well, where do you sit? Well, I sit over here by myself. I said, why don't you go meet somebody and sit with them? Come on. You see, Acts 2:46-47 says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together and with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is talking about the early church. Daily fellowship was a part of their routine. They're worshiping together. They were fellowshipping together. These kind of things strengthens both your faith. It also helps you to get away from that feeling alone. You have somebody with you. Now we're going to get to something that some of you might not like to hear. Proverbs 18:24. A man, or a person, we could say, who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, you got to realize that you're never alone. He's always with you. No, there was an old song we used to sing, no, when I was growing up in church, and then even after I was in the ministry, no, never alone. And I don't know the rest of it, but my wife, I see her mouthing the words to it. She knows every song there is, I think. She's been on a platform playing the piano and singing since she was a little girl. So she knows all the songs. I just remember the part of it. But you see, you need to look at it. A person who has friends must be friendly. If you're going to build a relationship, you've got to do something yourself. Don't wait for somebody to come to you. You go to them. When I was 15, and I traveled all over the state of California with my dad, and he was holding meetings in different church. We'd be at a church maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Back then, they used to have long revival meetings, they called them. They'd be 2 or 3 weeks. Anybody remember when the churches used to have revival meetings that last several weeks? And so I would get in there. I'm 15. I'm walking in. It's a new place. I see a group of guys standing over there. I go over and say, hey, I'm Kenneth Hagin. I'm the evangelist's son. We're going to be here about 3 weeks. What do y'all do for fun around here? And I meet the guys. I get to know them. I just go and get involved with the youth there in the church. But somebody said, well, you're different. Well, I guess so, because it didn't bother me to go to go introduce myself. But if that's you, you got to get, if you're shy, get out of it. I guess one reason I'm not shy is because my sister was born 19 months after I was. And back then, when dad was preaching at, and even the ones he pastored, they didn't have no nurseries. In fact, they were just one room. They wasn't even any Sunday school rooms or anything. And they wasn't, sometimes there was just a path and a house out back, some of those country places that we went to. And so I'm 19 months old. There's no nurseries. Mom's got my sister, so he took me to the platform. I went to the platform when I was 19 months old, and he set me on a chair. And I swear to this day, he's been gone for 20 years now to glory, but I guarantee you the man has eyes in the back of his head, because if I would be sitting there, I start to fidget to go on, he would just keep preaching and do this. I'm serious. But I knew that if I'm going to meet anybody there, do it, I have to go up and I have to show myself. You can't hang back and expect to be somebody to come and talk to you. But now what we try to do here is to get the connection team, if you come in as a first-time guest, to connect with you so you can connect with this church. That's part of what we want you to be a part. We don't want you to feel alone. You know, how many of you realize that you sit basically in the same area, maybe not on the same pew sometimes, but basically you sit in the same area every time you come to church? Let me see your hand. I can look back and see. I see Greg and Christy Wicks back there. That's about where they usually sit, in that area somewhere. Hello. I see different ones, and that's where you usually sit when you come to church. There's Cheryl Piper back there. That she used to be my dad's secretary back when they called them secretaries. And she usually sits right in that area right there. Don's mother, Judy Burns, usually sits in that area, you know. And I look over here, there's the Benedicts. They usually sit around in that area right there. See, I could name several of you. I'm just picking out two to let you know I notice where you sit. And I notice when you're not here. But what I wanted to say about that was, if you start seeing people that normally sit around that area, and they're not there for a couple Sundays, you need to check on them. That's what friendship. That's what you do. Hello. You know, we've. At different times, Lynette and I, because we knew that people were going through situations, and so we've invited them in to our house to have meals with us during the holidays, because that's a time that, you know, our sister Denise, she can tell you that's the truth. You know, on one occasion, we knew a minister that was going through a really tough situation. And I had him come to Tulsa, and Lynette, we ministered to him, talked to him, and Lynette fixed a meal. We encouraged him, told him that, hey, it's not over. God can still use you, and he still has a ministry today. You see, if you're going to have friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. Look for ways to help somebody. If you happen to know somebody that's going through something, hey, be willing to go out of your way to meet them. And if you're one of those that's a shy person, get out of your shell and begin to associate with people, and you'll find out that you won't feel alone, and that loneliness will not be there. You know, get involved and once be committed. You know, in the early church, they experienced joy and growth because they fellowshiped together and they worshiped God together. When you do that, there will be no loneliness. God designed the church as a reflection of His love and a remedy for loneliness. I believe if you'll try to apply some of these things that I talked about, and you may be able to look at some other things also. And I believe that you can create a network of relationship that will drive away your loneliness and will enrich your life, but not only your life, but those that you are in fellowship and worshiping with in the church community. This is your opportunity And I would like for everyone to begin to look for ways that you can be a blessing to somebody else. And when you do that, you'll find out that you're going to be blessed. And you'll find out that there's no loneliness involved. My dad used to tell me, son, don't ever pray for God to bless you. He said, you pray for God to make you a blessing to others, and you'll be blessed. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments today about a subject that many people are dealing with. I pray, Father, that as each individual begins to look into their own life, that they will begin to realize that they can do something about their loneliness. And as others of us, we begin to look and see that we can do something to help those that are feeling lonely. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Would you bow your heads and just sit there for a minute? You know, you can meet Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and He'll always be there, and you'll never be alone. Or you may be in this congregation this morning, and you know what it is to serve God, but you've just got sidetracked and detoured, and you need to rededicate your life to God. Or you might be in here today and you say, I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. And they are all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's a biblical experience. Is there anybody on any one of those three directions in this invitations in this place today? I want to pray with you so you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Would you just please raise your hand? I can't pray for you if I don't know who you are. I want to meet you and I want to shake your hand and I want to pray for you. Anybody, anywhere in this building, anywhere. Everybody stand, please. Heavenly Father, I saw no hands, but if there happened to be one person in this that's under the sound of my voice that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, or needs to rededicate their life, I pray that the power, convicting power of the Holy Spirit would go with them until they stop and accept you as their Lord and Savior. I thank you for it in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. You have anything you want to sing?
We're one in the family and one in the Lord. I'm bound by His Spirit and washed in His blood, and together there is nothing we can overcome, 'cause we're
Amen. Did you get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. Well, pastors are going to the door, so we'll be there to shake hands with you as you go out. I'm going to the north door this morning. You can see where everybody else is on the screen there if you want to see any one of us. Remember, pray for the team as we leave to go start the Living Faith Conferences again this year, 2025. Hey, and don't forget about Worldwide Homecoming and Winter Bible Seminar in February. So, coming up in February, we need help, so get involved. This is a great way to meet some people. Hey, they're going to sing a song, and I'm going down that aisle right there. And then when they get through, Anthony or Dan will dismiss you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night here. I won't, but some they'll be here, and then I'll be here next Sunday. God bless.
'Cause we're one.